Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Zurian Show. Today we have a very special guest. We have Miss Barbara Wilson, and Barbara is going to talk about the book that she's written and the first part of the book that she's written, and there's going to be a second part coming out and a more in-depth tale of her story and the ordeals that she went through. But today we're being really blessed, and we're getting the opportunity to speak with a lady that has definitely beat all odds and has taken on all comers when it comes to certain things that have happened in her life, and she's also an inspiration to anybody and everybody else out there that's looking to make a positive go at trying to recreate themselves, refocus themselves, and redevelop themselves. Barbara, are you out there?
Yes, I am. How are you?
Oh, I am all right. Hey, good morning. And it's really a pleasure to have you on the show today. I'm sorry for anybody, we started a few minutes late. We ran into a little bit of technical difficulty. We're in a different time zone today. We're actually in New Orleans. Barbara is in the D.C. metropolitan area. So if there was a little bit of a delay, we have to apologize for that. Anyway, Barbara.
Yes?
Tell us a little bit about yourself, please. Barbara?
Well, I live in the Virginia area. I relocated from New York in 1995. And once I relocated to Virginia, things just started happening in my life, just revealing things to me that it was time to share my story. I work at Freddie Mac, and I've been at Freddie Mac for 7 years, and I work for some wonderful people. And in my path, as I've been going along, God has just placed so many wonderful people in my direction to help me to reach the point where I am now. And that point is of peace and freedom.
That is a beautiful thing. A beautiful thing. Because your ordeal started in the New York area, correct?
Correct. I was 8 years old when the abuse first happened. I was living with my mother and my stepfather. And one night he just came in the room after he took my mother out to play cards, and he took me out of my bed and actually took me into their bed and just began abusing me and told me not to tell her. The sad part was when I did tell her, she had told me not to tell anyone because that was how the rent was getting paid. And so for me, at the time, I don't understand why she would say that, but because she's my mother, whatever it took to make her happy, if that's what it took to make her happy, then I was truly, truly going to obey what she said. And also, I also follow the Ten Commandments, where it tells you to honor thy mother and thy father. And so I was honoring my mother, and I was honoring her wishes.
Wow, that is amazing. You know, but that just goes to show that, you know, sometimes, you know, we take information, and we take that information, and we kind of mold it to suit ourselves instead of it being actually to suit, you know, the original purpose in which it was made for. I mean, your sacrifice and your belief in what you did was valid, except for the reasoning that, you know, the person used it for was a little, we'll say, incorrect, you know, because I also teach rape aggression defense, and I teach resisting aggression defensively for children in Northern Virginia, and I've been certified and been doing that for about 10 years, and I'm constantly telling kids, you know, about good touch, bad touch, and things along that nature. and also working with the parents. And, you know, I've also noticed that there's a lot of cases like this. So you said that your original abuse started when you were 8. How long did that continue?
It continued until I was 13. And during this entire time while I was going through, and because I looked to my mother and my father as my protectors, once she said that and not protecting me, not trusting, there was no way that I could trust to tell anyone else. But then I found out later in life that there were others that knew. For instance, when I had the opportunity to talk to my father and I mentioned it to him, he told me that he knew what was going on, but he just didn't want to make matters worse. Well, they can't get any worse than that, but they did. And there was a time when I ran away from home, and I only ran to my father's house, and my mother came there with the police, and my trust was broken so much, I couldn't even tell the police what was happening. And what I want people to know and understand is, even with all of this going on, my mother has gone on to glory, but I loved her and still love her with all my heart. And I remember her asking me the question 2 days before she died, because she did ask for forgiveness. And she says, you know, everything that I've ever done to you, she says, not only am I sorry, but every time I needed something, you were always there. Even on my sickbed, you're taking care of me. How could you do that? And I told her, because you're my mother, and I love you. And the sacrifices that I made to make sure that she was happy was what I was supposed to do as a daughter. Now, whether she chose to protect me, it was my duty to respect my mother. Would I do the same thing? Would I have done the same thing had it been my daughter? No, I did everything I possibly could to protect my daughter, whose name is Tawana, to make sure that she had a loving, trusting upbringing. And when my mother asked me if I would forgive her, I told her I forgave her a long time ago. And for me, that gave her peace, because she died the next day with a big smile on her face, and I knew that she was at peace. Was it right what she did? No. But again, the Ten Commandments say to honor, and I honored my mother, and I loved her with all my heart and soul.
That is a beautiful thing. Ladies and gentlemen, we are talking to Ms. Wilson today, Ms. Barbara Wilson, and we're talking about her book. She wrote a book called Mute, But Now I Speak, and this book is basically, it's about the ordeal that she went through, you know, as a child, and sexual abuse, and you know, it basically covers the story of her life. I would recommend that anybody, I've actually gotten a chance to read the book, and it's a very moving story, you know, about Barbara and her life and her ordeal. And it's also a guiding light for anybody that's looking for, you know, a little strength to step out and to come out of their zone, to come out of their little box and share, you know, what's going on with them, so that they can move forward in their lives and not let the past, you know, guide their future in a negative way, but in a positive way. Because Barbara has gone on to make a lot of changes in her life and to create a beautiful life, not only for herself, but for her daughter. Even though it took a number of years before she was able to write this book, she did that with the mindset that she wants others to not have to go through that ordeal, to not have to wait that long, to not have to step up, and to also not have another child go through the type of abuse that she had to experience. So, Barbara, you were saying that you came to the Virginia area, or the New York, D.C. metropolitan area, and you changed your life. Could you tell us how you did some of that?
Well, I one of the things that when I moved to the Manassas area, I found a loving church home, First Family of Manassas, and it was through there that God started using, I call them not only my church family, but my angels. They started seeing in me, revealing to me things that I couldn't understand at first. Some of my life I shared, but not all, and the reason being is that, and I want the listeners to know this as well, I kept a lot in for so long. Again, it goes back to not my family not being able to help, but people have a way of gossiping and taking things and making it dirtier than what it is. And so and I think that's another reason why I kept it inside for so long, because it's like, who do I trust? If I speak to this person, will they be there to help and pull me out of it, or are they there just to get a good story? And so I was led to speak to my pastor at that church, Pastor Ronald Boykin, and once I shared with him, he said, you have to speak about it. That's the only way you're going to begin your healing. And I just started sharing it in bits and pieces, but still keeping a lot of it inside because I was embarrassed. I was ashamed. Even though I had no control over that, but it's something that a lot of men and women keep buried inside. And so when I began going through my journey of being free, then God started speaking to me and saying, you have to share your story, but you have to share everything. And then that meant becoming transparent. Because even though I took on the pain of the abuse and loving my mother, there were things that I had to do to help me to deal with the pain. And in the book, it talks about me doing drugs. That was helping me to cope with what was going on. And even in the midst of all of that, God was still there. I was still praying, and I was asking him, why was this happening? And then finally, I just went out on a journey, and it was just me and God, and that's when I just poured my heart out. And as I'm pouring my heart out, I started writing everything on paper. And so I started actually writing this book in 2003 and got it published in 2011. That's how long it took for me to be able to get it published, because once I got it published, I knew that I literally was going to be an open book. And at that point, I began praying, and I had to think about not the gossipers, but I had to think about who would I be able to help to heal, to be delivered, to be set free, because it truly is a wonderful feeling. I never thought I could feel this way. And in writing the book and receiving calls and emails, I realize now that what happened to me wasn't about me, but it was about to help someone else. And so I am just grateful to God for taking me through all that I went through, because I really should not be alive. And so it's only by the grace of God. It truly is only by the grace of God, because the things that I did in order to cope, a lot of people didn't make it. And God saw the strength in me to be able to share with others. And for any man or woman out there, even if you don't want to speak to anyone about it, just pray and just ask God to just remove the bitterness, remove the hate, forgive, the person who caused the pain so that you can become free, so that you can live the life that God has in store for you. I wouldn't be where I am right now had I not started sharing, had I not opened up, had I kept everything inside. And I want people to feel the freedom that I am feeling. I want them to know that it's okay. They're not dirty. They're not to blame themselves. It's okay to just release, not worry about, you know, even if someone takes it as a gossip, then I look at it as a positive, because whomever you're speaking to about it, you're actually sharing the information, you're helping someone. So that's where I am right now, and you know, just doing this interview, I've been praying, I've been in tears, but they're tears of joy, because I just want to help. I just want to help the next person.
I understand, and we thank you for stepping up, because there's a lot of people that will not step up, and the statistics on, you know, children that are abused, not only females but males, and people that, you know, not only kids but adults that are abused and don't talk is horrendous. And if most people knew, I mean, the number of men that are assaulted sexually by men, unfortunately, is that those statistics are amazing. Because, like I said, I also teach several different courses along with martial arts, and through that I've been teaching these classes for over 10 years, I've gotten to deal with a lot of people. I actually also teach for the Sexual Assault Victims Advocate Service in Northern Virginia for the last 10 years, so I understand. Ladies and gentlemen, please also understand that Barbara not only, you know, got out of that New York area and changed her life, she also attended college, graduated from college. She's also made a supportive and beautiful life for her child. She graduated from college, and if I remember correctly, there was a point where your daughter, as a gift, gave you a cruise to go away on. And I know you're really thankful about that, and also I know that God has been a guiding force in everything that you do. And, you know, I thank your pastor and the others that that have stepped forward to help you, not only with the book, but to also move on with your life. Because I actually met Barbara for this interview through a gentleman we call Easy. And Easy kind of arranged this. Well, anyway, Barbara, we have about three callers that are calling in. Would you like to take a couple of questions?
Yes, sure.
Okay. I'm going to hit and we'll see if we can get the first caller. Hello, you have a question for Barbara? Hello? Hello? All right. The next person. Sometimes people will call in, but they don't want to actually talk. They just want to listen. Next caller. Hello, do you have a question for Barbara? That's two. Hello, third caller. Do you have a question for Barbara? No, Barbara? I guess we get to talk some more. I say they're kind of like your book. They're mute except for the fact that they're not willing to speak.
I like that. One of the things that I also want listeners to understand, because I was that person. You know, when you see young people. And some of the young people have grown into adults. But, you know, for me, you know, once when the abuse, the first time it happened, you know, I went from a happy little girl playing with dolls, and then it's like overnight just started, you know, became bad and not listening to adults and what have you. And when if you're really paying attention to your child or whoever is in your care, and you notice changes, you need to ask questions. For me, it wasn't my family members asking questions. All they kept saying is, You know, we don't know why she's acting so bad. We don't know why she's doing this, why she's doing that. And they're saying all of this to my mother. And, you know, even to the point where when I was going to school, you know, the principal, she was called up there every day, her and my father. And she would tell them, you know, I don't know why she's acting out like this. She knew. And I would look at her and just had this look on my face like, you know, how can you sit here and tell a lie? And so for a lot of these young kids that are out there in the street now that are acting up, sometimes it has to do with what's going on at home. And they have no outlet because home is where we're supposed to find safety. And if you can't find safety there, where can you find it? And so for me, I always tell people, before you judge someone, first find out their story, because they're seeking help, and they're seeking it by any means necessary.
Yeah, that's what we.
You know, when you see a prostitute on the street, you don't know why she was there. When I really admitted it to myself, my mother prostituted me out. That could have been me. But God saw different. God had his hand on me. So I don't judge anyone that I see on the street because they didn't have the strength to deal with it, whether it's that or drugs. I was given the strength to be able to get away from it all.
Yes, and a lot of people don't understand that by the grace of God go we all, and that life is a journey. We have another caller. Let's see if that person has any questions. But everything that you said, Barbara, is definitely right online, and people need to understand that you have to take a stand. You know, you have to have the courage to step forward and to, you know, be willing to, again, like I said before, step out of your box. Let's try this caller. Hello, caller. Do you have a question for Barbara?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Hi. My question is, how can we get people, especially young people, to open up? You see so many instances where young people are closed because they feel like no one will understand or no one will believe what I'm telling them, that things have happened to me in my youth, and they can't even talk to their parents in many cases. So I'm just wondering, does Barbara have any ideas for how to get these young people to open up, to release themselves? It took her 39 years to write her book.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't want our young people to go that long.
Yes, ma'am, you're correct. Barbara, would you like to answer that question? I can answer it if you don't.
We are, when bad things happen, I mean, the first people we're supposed to turn to are our parents. But in my case, that wasn't a good thing. And so the trust was broken there. Once the trust is broken from people that you love, that are closest to you, it makes it hard to trust anyone else. There are many times, you know, even when I was in school and sent to the guidance counselor, I mean, they had me talking to psychiatrists. Knowing what was going on, they still put me, my parents knowing what was going on, still put me through, well, we got to take her to see a psychiatrist to find out what's going on, why she's acting up. When at the time I didn't know that my father knew, but my mother knew, and yet she's playing this pretend game. So how can I share with anyone else when the trust was already taken? And so for me, I acted out in so many different ways, but there were also people, even in my young adult life, who was brought into my path, and I have to thank God because they're still there, who knew something was going on, knew something happened in my childhood, and instead of walking away when I would get angry with them, they still hung in there. And once I started...
Barbara, hold on for a second. Listeners, we are about to run out of our 30-minute feed. However, this show will continue. And if anybody does get cut off from hearing the show, they shouldn't. But if they do, the rest of the show will still be recorded on the feed. Just click back onto the feed. Go ahead, Barbara. I'm sorry.
And once my angels was placed in my path, I started saying to myself, now I've gotten angry, but they're still here. That's when I started sharing, because then I began to build trust up in these special ladies in my life. So in answer to her question, when you can't trust your parents who broke the trust, you have to give the person, the child, the teen, the young adult, even if they get angry, don't walk away from them. There's something going on. They have to know that you're going to be there, and then eventually they will start talking, and they will start sharing. But it really is a time process that it just so much is stolen from them. So much is stolen, and I just ask, you know, if they're put in that situation, to just be patient with the individual.
Yes. Also, for that caller, you know, that you can also try to see if you can get your church, or there's other organizations out there that deal with this, and some that deal with kids in general. So if you can start pointing those children towards those particular things and find people that they trust, if you can find people that they trust, then maybe you can get those people to be the conduit, because those are people that they'll listen to. And those people that will listen to them can also help you to guide them in the direction that they need to be, so that they can get the help that they need to get. Because as Barbara said before, a lot of times the family structure may not be there because of all of the hardship that we're going through. And even though now we live in a time that's a lot faster and there's a lot more things out there, now it's become to the point to where it's to be overwhelming, even for kids. You know, with all of the different things that are coming at them and all of the other peer pressures and what's supposed to be cool and all of that. And it's some of the same things I believe that you experienced, Barbara, when you were trying to get through things. You know, you've got the peer pressure from your parents. You've got people telling you that you may be dirty or that it's your fault that you brought this on, you know, and all
exactly.
These other different things.
Exactly. And it's, you know, what I really found strange later was that, you know, now I'm an adult with a child, and the family members would ask me, you know, can I ask you a question? Did Bob ever touch you when you were younger? And when I would answer yes, their response was, you know, I thought so. I had a feeling he was doing that. Everyone had the idea, but no one came to the rescue. Again, that's where the trust, because if your family members are telling you that they have an idea, then who's going to save you? So if I come to you as a stranger asking for help, will you help me, or will you do the same thing? So it's for me, it drained me. It just took a lot out of me. And so for raising my daughter, it meant I was not going to have her face what I had to face. And so I guess my saving grace was that I just blocked everything out, and I guess to the point where I was getting older, and one day he just decided to stop, and, you know, but even though it stopped, the pain was still there. I still was being abused in the mind, by other people not knowing that they were doing it, and just things that were just being said. I still was being abused in the mind. So it's very difficult, and it's very hurtful when a child is destroyed like that, because it takes a lot. It takes a lot from them.
Well, I agree with you. Well, everyone, I want to thank you, Barbara, for writing your book. And again, everybody, the name of the book is You, But Now I Speak. And, you know, Barbara's story is a moving story. And please understand that, you know, there's help for all of us. And there's a way, there's a way for all of us to step up and to step out and to realize that this is, anything that happens to you is part of your journey. And since God doesn't make junk, then that means you're not junk. But since you're not junk, that means that you are meant for great and amazing things. And Barbara is one of those people that has proved that she was made for great and amazing things because she stepped up. And her sharing this book is also a very instrumental thing, not only for Barbara, because it's not only helping her, it's helping any and everybody that reads this, and anybody and everybody that reads this and then decides to share the book or to share some of the things that they've learned from Barbara's experience. Remember that books and tools like that are very useful to everybody, because then you don't have to go through their pain. You don't have to go through their learning lessons. You go through their learning lessons through them. I always tell people that I'd rather live the life of misery through somebody else's eyes and not experience it myself. But today I want to thank Barbara for coming on the Zurian Show. I think we'll probably try to see if we can have you back again, Barbara, so that we can tell a little bit more of your story. Of course, not the whole story about the book. We need people to buy that. But so that we can get more out there, because there's a lot of people that need to hear this.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you, listeners, for calling in with questions. And I pray that when you purchase the book, that you really sit and read not just the story, but the message behind the story, which is forgiveness. And that's what I want people to walk away with, the true meaning of forgiveness. Because again, like I said, with what my mother did, I loved her with all my heart. I honored my mother. I sacrificed for my mother, and I forgave my mother. And in forgiving her, it gave her peace. And then I could move on with my life and share. And so that's what the true meaning. I've heard so many people say to me, I don't know how you could forgive her, you know, because I couldn't. But God forgives us. And, you know, Jesus died on the cross for us. He took on our pain and he didn't have to. And if he can forgive us, how can we not forgive the person that caused us harm and pain? We must. We have to. Because that's what his word says, and I am a true believer of his word. And again, I wouldn't have this peace if I didn't forgive. And that's what I want the listeners to walk away with.
All right. Well, again, this is Ms. Barbara Wilson, and she's talking about her book, Mute, But Now I Speak. And again, we want to thank everybody for listening to the Zurian Show today. Please share the show with other people. Please listen in. And again, thank you very much. And everybody have a great day,
you,
a great tomorrow,
you.
Great week, great month, and a great year in life. Thank you very much. And again, Barbara, you take care. We'll be in touch. Take care. Farewell.
Take care.